This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed your double dose of What the Puck last week while we celebrated American Thanksgiving. I am technically still on vacation, so this is the first thing I'm doing back at home. So, I went straight from a long car ride straight to the chair to talk about some puck with my buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing? How was your Thanksgiving?
I'm doing all right. I do have a cold, so everyone listening, if I sound a little nasally or you hear me coughing, that's why, and I apologize in advance. otherwise, my Thanksgiving was good, man. I have two small children, so it's not really a break per se. It's not really a vacation. It's just you know, they're around. No, it was good. It was good. It was nice to see family. Got to see some family I don't normally see, and yeah, we got to do some good stuff. How was yours?
It was good. It was good. I spent it in Ocean City, Maryland. I love spending the beach, spending time at the beach during the off season. But again, great Thanksgiving, some great food, really fresh seafood straight from the boats. It was kind of fun. I like the fact that we can incorporate, you know, local fishermen, watermen from Maryland into the Thanksgiving feast. So I had a great meal, good times, kicking off the holiday season now. Already did some shopping. I got Christmas gift for you is done, so I'm happy about that. But yeah. Great vacation. Had a blast. Absolutely blast. With friends, family, all that good stuff. So, yeah. You know who didn't have a good Thanksgiving, though? The Washington Capitals. They're coming off a 2-0.
It was after.
Yeah, it was after. So, they got stuffed on turkey. They had the tryptophan hit. And then they haven't won since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they got stuffed by the Oilers.
Oh, they got stuffed. I love it. Even more Thanksgiving puns. I love this. This is great.
Ugh, I hate myself for that one. Oh, yeah. It's been a little rough these last two games. And like, look, I was talking to my brother about this, and he's like, yeah, they are not doing too good after that game against the Oilers. And I was like, yeah, but they were on an 8-1 and what was it, 8-1-1 run or something like that? Like 1-8 of their last 10. Like, you're not gonna win every single game. It's not the end of the world if they lose a few. But I do find it a little weird that they don't really blow any teams out. Right? Like, all the scores are really close.
Right.
With the exception of, like, the win over, I think I talked about this last week, like, the win over Vegas. It was 3-0, but it was 3-0 at the very end of the game. Like, it was 1-0 for most of the game. And then when they, you know, a number of times when they lose big. Like, I think I said, John Walton said on Caps this morning that this was their first, the loss to San Jose, the 2-1, was their first one goal loss, I think, this season. And it's like, wow, when they lose, they go hard on losing. A 5-0 blowout to a bad Edmonton team. It's not good. And this power play is abysmal. So while they're still in a good spot, you know, everything is so congested right now. So, you know, a couple wins here and there can throw you back to the top of the, not only close to the top of the division, but, you know, top of the Eastern Conference. But they've dropped a fourth in the Metropolitan Division, and, you know, I think they're further down to like 9th or something or 10th in the East, and further down the standings in the entire NHL compared to where they're at this point last week. But they're still doing well in terms of their standing spots. Like, I'm not worried about the standings right now. They've also played 2 or 3 less games than the teams in front of them in the division. So they're doing fine in terms of their standing spot, but these big losses and these, the power play is a problem right now.
Yeah, the power play, even Carberry has come out and said the power play is just absolutely terrible. And it's really funny that that he's the one to say that, because that was kind of like his bread and butter when he was in Toronto.
But he's not like focusing on that specifically now, right? Like, that's like in the NFL, if it's like, well, you were a defensive line coach before you became the head coach, why does your defense suck? Well, it's not his primary focus anymore. Maybe it's because I'm a Commanders fan. They're just a nightmare right now with Rivera. But I think the reality is their power play is, I think it's a little bit their snake bit in terms of like how many posts are they going to hit before one finally goes in?
Lots but of I also just San Jose as well on power play and just regular play.
Yeah. I mean, it's just weird. You have to imagine that the law of randomness, that's not a thing. What am I trying to say here? But like at some point the stats are going to start going in their favor. You know, like what are the odds that they're going to constantly hit the post? It's got to shift towards them at some point. And then that's when I think it's going to start going in. But you know, this has been a while now this season where it's not going in. I mean, we're 18 games in and their power play, I haven't looked it up, but it's probably the worst in the league right now. That's not good when you have this kind of firepower on your team. So there's still there's a fair amount of work to do on this power play. And it can't just be feed it to Ovechkin, you know?
I mean, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. And a lot of people can't still to this day stop that Ovechkin shot. But there's a lot of people that know to double team him and look for him in his office.
Well, yeah, but then that you'd think would give another. I mean, if you're going to double team when you're on the penalty kill, you're going to leave two guys open. So yeah. Why are they not getting those opportunities? And I know, like, you have Backstrom, who was such a big part of the power play for so many years. And you have TJ Oshie, who's out, who is a big part of their power play. So you're looking at other guys to step up. Like, this is a great opportunity for a guy like Anthony Mantha, Connor McMichael, Kuznetsov, all these other guys that will have opportunities to score. Why are they not producing? If you're going to double up Ovechkin, you're leaving two dudes open at that point, right? How are you not able to pick apart this defense or these penalty killers that are clearly spreading themselves a bit thin if they're having to double up Ovechkin? If they're not doubling him up, then it just gives him a better opportunity. So there are certainly issues here to be addressed, but you got to imagine if they're where they're at right now in the standings and their power play sucks and they get blown out every once in a while, like what happens if they actually figure it out? Like that's the team I'm going, they might not actually be half bad.
I mean, if Spencer Carberry, like you said, he's the head coach now, so he's not just doing the power play coaching. He's got other people to do that. But don't you think he's maybe talking to the guy that he kind of chose to have in charge of that and saying, like, this is probably what you should be focusing on, or this is what we need to be fixing? Like, I feel like he's got to put his two cents in. He's not just letting this guy go willy-nilly and being like, all right, you figure it out.
Just to figure your stuff out. I'm sure he's involved in some way, shape, or form, right? And it could be more so than I'm thinking or realizing. But I also feel like, I don't know, like they just have too many weapons for it to be this bad. And yeah, like we're saying, they've hit the post a bunch of times and eventually the law of averages has to like switch over and it'll be more likely that it's going to start going in the net. It's just weird. And maybe it's just they're just not doing the right things. And it could be that he was doing really well in Toronto because of the personnel that were there. And maybe the personnel that are here are not able to do that the same way, right? And so maybe they need to switch up what they're doing to make it work. Because this is a problem that needs to get fixed pretty soon if they want to, you know, get back and sort of close to the top of the division. Because they're not that far off. Like I'm saying, if their power play suddenly starts to play a bit better, this team's going to be scary.
I agree with that, but also at the same time, it feels as if Alex Ovechkin, for maybe the first time, is showing his age a little bit, because he is not, at least in these first, you know, month and a half worth of games in this new season, he doesn't seem like he's the scoring machine he was maybe just a year or two ago.
Oh, he's definitely not scoring. I mean, I think I saw it on Russian Machine today that like he's on pace for 23 goals, 26 goals. Like, that's Alex Ovechkin at, like, a third of the way through the season. And right now he's sitting on, where's the stats? He's sitting on 5 goals. Like, what's happening there? Is it that he's just not getting the service he got before? Is he not playing at the level he could before? I don't know, because he's still running around. He's still skating. He's getting himself into good spots. is he not as, I mean, obviously as you get older, you're not quite as quick, but I don't know. I mean, I think that's gonna be a big thing for Carberry over these next few weeks is how does he get Ovechkin to be Ovechkin again?
He's in a very curious spot because he does have these veterans, these leaders that we all know are really great. And he's got this young talent who is really confident. They're real confident because of what they were able to do winning the Calder Cup. So you've got a lot of guys that all think that they're the greatest out there. And he has to balance that by having a guy like Ovechkin or Carlson or Wilson or Oshie. He's got to balance that because these guys have been to the mountaintop and they have won the Stanley Cup. And then you've got these young guys who were able to win the Calder Cup. It's not the biggest trophy in the world. They still want to lift that one up. And he's got to be the guy to go like, look, you've done really great in the AHL, but you still got a lot to prove at this next level.
I think we've seen before plenty of guys, not just on the Caps, but any NHL team where they do really well in the minors and they might even win a Calder Cup or a Kelly Cup or something. And then they just can't quite, you know, get to that next level. And so I feel like, I mean, I feel like these guys are doing pretty well. Like they have an extra guy and they're like, well, now what do we do? I mean, McMichael's got 8-18. He likes to be a little bit better, but he's been kind of shifting around between the center and the wing spot and the third, fourth, second line. And Milano's got 7-17. You like for that to be a little bit better. Protas has got 7-17. You like to that to be a little bit better. Mantha's got 4-14. I'm talking points, not goals. He's got 3-1. So some of these guys you're looking at and you're going, I need a little bit more from you than what I'm getting right now. And that's not happening at the moment. But I think some of these young guys, the thing is the team's playing well, right?
Yeah.
Like the last two games excluded, I think they're playing pretty well. So it's just what's going on with the power play? Do they need new looks? Do they need to because it sounds like if you're getting shots on net and they're hitting the post, clearly you're getting guys open to take shots. You just have bad luck.
This might be a silly question, but are there certain players that are still in Hershey right now that potentially could be a better fit for the power play than some of the guys that are up here currently? Like, I don't want to see LaPierre go back down. I think the more NHL experience he gets, the better. And I like the fact that he's the guy that's being called upon when TJ Oshie is still out. Like, LaPierre is being handed these opportunities on a silver platter, and I want to see him take care of that. And, you know, if you listened to last week's show, I was gushing over LaPierre Protas. Yeah, and Protas being paired together because that works so well in Hershey. Is there somebody down in Hershey that might be a better fit that could maybe light a fire for this power play unit?
I think the only guy that has the potential that I can think of off the top of my head is Miroslav Nechenko, but I don't think he's ready yet.
No, not him.
I don't think you necessarily go out and bring a guy in simply because you need to fix your power play.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to get the power play going. And if you're getting guys that are hitting the net constantly, then you're clearly putting yourself in the right spot. At least in the San Jose game, they were clearly putting themselves in the right spot. So it's how do you take that next step? How do you get it so that puck's going in the net? How do you get that little bit more? And when it comes to hitting the post, I don't know, it's just bad luck, and you have to hope it'll eventually turn around, but who knows?
Now, we do know that TJ Oshie was hurt in the game over the weekend, and he did not travel with the team to California. Currently, he is on injury reserve. This is not something that is new for the Capitals team. Oshie has been on injury reserve a lot the last couple years. But if you look at that hit, it definitely looks like he got hit in the head. But normally, when a player is out for a long period of time for a concussion, it usually happens because of the whiplash and the head hitting the ice. If I'm looking at some of these camera angles correctly, it doesn't look like his head had a whiplash effect. So it may have just been that head-on collision that has hurt him. Now, I'm just speculating. They're just saying upper body injury. They're not specifically saying concussion. But to me, it looked like it was a concussion just from the head-on collision he had with the Oilers player.
I mean, I think some of Oshie's issues is injury issues. That is, are bad luck. You know, being sort of in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it has nothing really to do with him per se. I also was wondering if it was a concussion. Because it didn't look like it was like a bad hit necessarily, like
right.
one that yeah, would like damage his shoulder kinda... arm. Yeah, like I feel like it was like that when I saw it. I was like, "Ooh, I wonder if he got a concussion. Like his head just hit the ice wrong." And I mean, I can tell you not from personal experience, if that makes sense, but like my wife's had two concussions, and one of them wasn't really off of that big of a thing. Like we were playing indoor soccer, and you know my wife's not very tall. You've met her, so she was playing indoor soccer against. Another woman who's bigger than her or taller than her, I should say. And it's just like a light shoulder to the side of her head as they both are kind of like jostling to get the ball. It wasn't that I was on the field. It was a co-ed league. And like, she just kind of took a little bit of a shot. She was like, oh, that kind of felt weird. And like went to the bench and the next day she had a concussion or she figured out she had a concussion. And so like, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily the biggest thing. It's just how your head and how your brain reacts to it. That can cause the issue. But Oshie missing games is not a new thing for this Capitals team. So I'm looking at it right now. You have to go back to the 2015-2016 season for him to play 80 games. After wow. that, he played 68, 74, 69, 69, 53, 44, and 58. So over the last three seasons, he's played no more than 58 games out of an 82-game season. It would have been a good idea if I did the percentages as well, but I don't feel like doing that right now. It's not a number you want it to be for a guy making as much as he is. I mean, right now on the, at least amongst the forward ranks, he's, I don't know because he's not on IR. So they moved him with 5.4. So he's third in terms of the forward ranks in terms of their cap it. Like you have a higher expectation for TJ Oshie. One, because he's earned it. He deserves it. He's an incredible hockey player. But over the last three seasons, he's shown that he's not as durable as you need him to be. And so this is a team that needs to start figuring out what they're going to do about that particular situation. Like you need to be prepared for the fact that Oshie's not going to be able to play as much as he used to. You know, you still have him for under contract through next season. In which case, you know, what do you do? Do you sign him to a short-term deal, 1-2-year deal? I would imagine a significantly reduced rate because at that point he'll be 38. And he could just be like, you know, I'm going to hang him up. And if it's a concussion, hasn't he already had a number of concussions already?
Yeah.
Like, is this something where it's like, you know what? Is it worth risking my future by being Oshie's, by continuing to play the game? You know, I mean, I know he loves it. I would imagine. And it's hard to step away, but you got to think about your future. I was actually listening to the Smartless podcast. The one, you know what that one?
I don't think
the
so.
The one with Jason Bateman and Sean Hayes and Will Arnett. And so
They
were talking to Peyton Manning and he was talking about how like his neck injuries that he had before and how at one point he went to a doctor and he was like, look, if you tell me to hang it up, I'm hanging them up. Like I've had a great career. If I have to be done, I'm done because I want to be able to have a life after football. I want to be able to play with my kids and such. And the doc was like, no, you can do this. You strengthen your arm. You'll be okay. I think it's something with his arm and his neck. And so, I mean, obviously we know it worked out and he's okay. For Oshie, he's got to think about the same thing. What is his life after hockey? And if that means that he hangs him up at the end of the season because of another concussion, and maybe it's not a concussion. You know, it could be that he just landed awkwardly and like, you know, his shoulder got damaged or something, or it could be something else. And so maybe, you know, we're just completely going down the wrong track here. But if it's another concussion, at some point he's got to sit down and be like, is it still worth it? Because you know, as a people, we still don't know enough about concussions to know what's the best choice moving forward. And everybody's so different. So it's one of those things that, you know, could the Capitals go into this offseason with the retirements of Nick Backstrom and TJ Oshie? That's another big change for this team.
Yeah, I mean, TJ Oshie, he obviously takes his personal life very seriously. When the tragedy happened over in England with the skate blade death, he was the first one to kind of wear blade protecting around his neck. So he does take his health and his safety very seriously. We've been talking about this for ages, though. I mean, this is like season two or three that we're like, is TJ Oshie going to hang it up? Can he go all the way? How many concussions has he had? Again, we don't know if it was specifically a concussion. It definitely looked like one to us, but it didn't look like that bad of a hit. But I mean, if it was bad enough where TJ even said that night, like, I can't travel with the team, I can't go to California, he's thinking of how to take care of himself. So I'm not worried on that. Like you said, I hope he does what is best for him and his family and his health moving forward. But you hate to see something like that happen. Like, concussions are very serious, and we need to take them seriously. And I think they are. And it's unfortunate that the team is going to be missing him for this stretch, because what do we have? We've got, of course, we're going to talk about this at the end of the show, but we've got a game in LA, Anaheim, Vegas, and in Arizona. So they're not back for another week. December 7th is the first home
game. Five-game road trip?
Yeah.
They don't go back until the 7th, as you just said. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to play Dallas again? Were they flying with them? That doesn't make sense, because they have two more games. That was stupid. Why did I say that?
But no, they've definitely got some games and some heavy matchups without TJ Oshie. But like, even though San Jose was a loss, you know, it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't a blowout. It was still close. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, given how bad San Jose is this season. Which, by the way, did you see how empty the stands were in that San Jose game? I was watching it, and they literally played in front of tens of people in San Jose. There was no one there at that game.
Winning gets butts in the seats. And if you're going to have a bad product and you're in a next to an expensive area of the country, people aren't necessarily going to pay for. I mean, I don't know what their ticket prices are. And it's disappointing because San Jose is such a good franchise, or have been, you know, a really good franchise for a long time in the NHL. So you have to hope that they'll turn it around. Is it Mike Greer still there? Wasn't he their GM? Is she still their GM?
Not sure.
Let me check. Yeah, he's the general manager of the Sharks. He'll turn things around. Yeah. So this is, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation for what the Sharks going on. It's a bad loss for the Caps, you know, and some points, especially this last few games, they should have gotten some extra points. But you're obviously not going to win every single game throughout the season. So the reality is these things happen.
Yeah, but you want to win winnable games. That's definitely a thing that they should be doing. And against a team like San Jose, I know you traveled all the way across the country, but still, when a team is struggling like San Jose is, that should be, for this Capitals team, a winnable game, and they didn't. So that definitely is an issue and a problem. But, you know, 20 games, 18, 20 games into the season, new coach, young players making their way into the NHL, veterans getting hurt and leaving. You know, this is a team in flux, and they're doing okay. They're not doing great. They're not doing terrible. They're doing okay for the hand that they've been dealt so far this season.
And they're not in a bad spot in the standings. In the conference, they are ESPN, why don't you put numbers up? Don't make me count. I'm going back to NHL's website. They're ninth in the conference right now, and they are 16th in the league. But if they'd won those two games, they'd be ninth in the league. Or they'd be tied for eighth, technically. Right? So it's everything is there's what? 5 points between the fifth spot, 6 points between the 8 points. So 4 games between the fourth spot in the league and where they're at right now. So everything's very congested. Still relatively early in the season. So no one's really running away with it besides the Rangers and the Bruins, and they're not even in Vegas, and they're not even really, you know, they're only 9 points up on the Caps. So there's still so many things that can happen. And we're starting to get to that part of the season where I think we might see some trades in the NHL. in the next couple of weeks, or right after the roster freeze over the holidays. And we'll kind of see what comes out after that. But, you know, where could this team be with a good power play?
Yep.
It's going to be interesting if they finally figure that thing out.
And let's hope they do, and let's see it. And this stretch coming up, you know, end of November into December, it's a very different schedule coming up because they don't have, you know, week and a half off and one random game in the space of 10 days and stuff like that. Like, this is a grinder schedule coming up here. These guys are going to be on the road. They're going to have games, you know, almost every other night. Like, this is going to be the thick of the season. Like, what did our old teacher Richard Sayers say? They're getting into the thick of thin things. Like, that's what this feels like.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this a little while ago in terms of the schedule and how their games were so spread out. And how, is that going to come back to bite them later on?
Oh, yeah, it definitely will.
Where it's like, all right, now you only had 2 games a week. Now here's 8 games a week, which is not even possible. But we've done it to you anyways. Yeah, so it's an interesting situation for the team to be in, considering where they're at and what isn't working. And I feel like the way we're talking about it, it's like they're ninth in a what, 8-division, 7-division division, and that they're super struggling. And I'm like, well, not really. I mean, they're only 4 points up on Columbus, who are in last. But they're also only 2 points behind second. I mean, they're 9 points behind the Rangers, who are kind of running away with it at the moment, but that's going to kind of settle in. So,
yeah, but points are points, and they are important to get you in the playoffs. You want to make sure the team is a threat in the playoffs, and they're not right now.
Well, you're definitely going to need your power play if you get to the playoffs, and right now their power play
sucks.
So I think that's the big thing to focus on right now is that power play. And we'll see. I mean, this is the first time I feel like they've gotten, well, they have yet to have their full roster during a game. But I would ask how many teams have. And maybe there's more than I'm expecting. And maybe not. So I don't know.
Well, anything else we should cover here in Caps World?
No, I think we've pretty much covered everything. They have some interesting games coming up. They're all freaking late in the evening, so I'm not able to watch, but I'll catch the highlights and check out some stuff from the games the next day. And nice that they have a back-to-back in LA. Anaheim. That is quite nice. You probably stay at the same hotel or not. I have no idea.
And that is geography from Coach Dan.
I've been... Shut up.
Anything else we should talk about here in Caps World?
No, I think that's it, dude.
All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. All right, everybody, welcome back. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, we took a week off from Down on the Farm, so catch us up. What's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears have gone 6-0 since we last talked, with wins over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Bridgeport, and Iowa. They are currently first in the Atlantic Division and the American Hockey League with 30 points. 4 up on second place Hartford. Now that second place is in their division. They'll be back at it on Wednesday in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton before heading for back-to-back games starting on Friday in Charlotte. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 3-2 with wins over Jacksonville and Orlando. They're currently 6th in the South Division with 14 points behind first place Greenville. Now, they'll be back at it Wednesday when they host, I don't know how to say this, is it Trois Rivières at the North Charleston Coliseum? Don't worry, I'm going to get another shot at it in a minute. They then host Savannah on Friday before heading on the road to take on Greenville on Saturday. Then they host those same Trois Rivières on Sunday. I have probably gotten that dramatically wrong, but I don't care. In collegiate caps prospect news, the future is looking pretty good for 2023 first-round draft pick Ryan Leonard. He is on he's gotten points in 11 straight games, and on Monday he was named the Hockey East Player of the Week. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Lots going on down on the farm. The future looks bright for this Washington Capitals team. Go support the Bears, the Stingrays, and BC. Go enjoy it. All right, everybody. We're going to take another break, and we'll be back with Around the NHL and Beyond. Here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. There's a lot going on in the hockey world. There's as the hockey world turns, because there's some drama going on as well. Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
We'll get to that in a minute. First thing, we'll start in Detroit, where they were the winners of the Patrick Kane sweepstakes. I know you're very upset about this. They signed him to a one-year, $2.75 million deal. Now, Kane's former team, the Chicago Blackhawks, were back in the news again for rather interesting circumstances as they announced today that Corey Perry was placed on waivers with the intention of terminating his contract if he isn't claimed by another team. Now, per their press release, after an internal investigation, the Chicago Blackhawks have determined that Corey Perry has engaged in conduct that is unacceptable and in violation both of the terms of his standard player's contract and the Blackhawks' internal policies intended to promote professional and safe work environments. I feel like grammatically that didn't make sense what they wrote. I don't care, whatever. As such, Corey Perry has been placed on unconditional waivers. In the event Mr. Perry, I also found this, so I wasn't the only person to point this out. I find it weird that they call him Corey Perry a few times, and then they say Mr. Perry. Yeah. Like, this was written by different people. In the event Mr. Perry clears waivers, we intend to terminate his contract effective immediately. What did he do? I mean, I know what's on Twitter right now, and this is a family show, so I don't know if we can talk about it. But the rumor or joke on Twitter, do you want me to say this or would you rather I not?
I had no idea what you were talking about when you texted me, so why not fill everybody else in, because that's what they're all talking about on X.
I can tell you that what everybody's talking about on there is certainly X-rated. But
that's true.
What allegedly, either it's a joke or it's real, I don't know. And I don't want to speculate necessarily. But allegedly, he and rookie phenom Connor Bedard's mom became intimate. That's allegedly what's happening. All I know is, like, wow. I don't know. It's going to come out at some point in terms of what he did. And if it's because he hooked up with another dude's mom, that's messed up.
Now, is this real or is this an episode of Letterkenny? This feels like an episode of Letterkenny.
What is happening right now? Oh, dude, it's not getting this weird, but there's something else I want to talk about in a second. Let's do some fines and suspension news. First, Minnesota's Ryan Hartman was suspended for 2 games for tripping Detroit's Alex DeBrincat. Vancouver's Nils Höglander was fined $2,864.58 for slew-footing San Jose's Kevin LeBanc. Ottawa's Zach MacEwen was fined $2,018.23 for unsportsmanlike conduct against Florida's Matthew Tkachuk. And this one annoyed me. The Rangers' Jacob Trouba was fined $5,000 for high-sticking Trent Frederick. Did you see what happened?
I mean, I did see the tweet you sent Ryan and I, and man, you were heated about this one.
It's not, I'm going to go look it up real quick again to make sure I'm not overdoing it. But, like, that's not a high-sticking. That's a swing of a bat. Like, dude's going for a home run right there.
Yeah.
Like, I know the Yankees were garbage and need some help, but you can go get Jacob Trouba. Like, that's not high sticking. My understanding, and maybe it's changed, my understanding of the rule is you have to be in control of your stick at all times. It wasn't like he was going to lift someone's stick. It's not like he went to bat the puck out of the air. And it wasn't a follow through, because the play's basically dead at that point. As I'm watching it now, he's turning around his body, not his whole body, but like he's kind of at the hips. You know what I mean? Like he's doing one of this moves. And the stick just whacks the dude in the side of the head. How is that only a fine? Like, I'm gonna pull this card. If that was Tom Wilson, he's suspended for life. He's kicked out of the NHL, and he's got Hannah Waddingham behind him saying shame over and over as he walks with his stuff out of the rink formerly known as Kettler. Like, this is, I don't know, that, I got heated, because that's absurd. Like, that's just not, how that was only a fine is beyond me. Anyways.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If anything, that one was a horrific act of violence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good call, dude. Good callback. Yeah. Interesting. I wonder how the Rangers feel about that one. Minnesota, who's off to a 5-10-4 start, fired head coach Dean Evason and assistant coach Bob Woods. Now, those names may sound familiar, as Evason is a former Caps assistant coach, while Bob Woods was the head coach of the Hershey Bears for a time, and I believe an assistant here in D.C. for a little while. Huh. Former Nashville and New Jersey head coach John Hines was hired to take over the Wild. The NHL All-Star Game will be returning to a former method of making their teams by bringing back the player draft. Do you remember this?
Oh, I loved the draft. Well, Ovechkin, that was my favorite part of the weekend.
Where he wanted to win the car and everyone was real confident he was drunk.
Yes. Oh, he was 100% drunk.
So the now 3-day event in Toronto in February will hold the live draft on that Thursday, where four players and their celebrity captains will be picking the teams. They will then host a 3-on-3 tournament with players from the Professional Women's Hockey League. That's pretty cool.
Oh, there you go.
Fans can vote beginning in early January to select 12 players to compete in the All-Star Game. The league will announce the players and celebrity captains later in the month. Now, the 12 players thing confused me, so I may have had that a little off.
All right, so who do you think is going to be the Caps pick? Besides, is it going to be more than just Ovechkin?
Ooh. I think Strom deserves the opportunity. I think he's played really well. I would say if anybody else, Strom. Right, Carlson, I think, should get a look. But I feel like... I think if there's anybody that deserves an opportunity, it's Dylan Strome. Like, he's had a good start to the season.
It's interesting. All right. I like that one.
Do you have someone you feel like should go?
I'm going to look at these line combinations again. I mean, we're really impressed with Connor McMichael and what he has done in the absence of Nick Backstrom.
He's not an all-star.
I don't think, like, the league is looking at him going, yes, that's an all-star, because I don't think he is across the league. Rasmus Sandin has had a good season, not a great season. You could always go with John Carlson just because he's John Carlson. Yeah, I don't know. I'm seeing just Ovi. I think just Ovi. I think neither goaltender is an all-star. Yeah, I would think just Alex Ovechkin would be the one representing the Capitals. Now, what do you think about the celebrities? Celebrity captain. So let's say, are they doing like the, is it like the four teams again?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's just say,
I think one should be Will Arnett, because that dude's he's a big hockey fan. He's a Maple Leafs. I believe he's a Maple Leafs fan. He said on that Smartless podcast. So I would not be shocked to see him there. Will Ferrell would be really fun. I think what the NHL is going for is kind of get the banter in there. And so if you get like Will Ferrell, because he goes to Kings games all the time. And I want to say he's a fan of him. No, I'm thinking something else. I don't know. God, do they get Bieber? That would annoy me.
Ooh.
He's Canadian.
Who has the
Ryan Reynolds
the
would be interesting. At one point, he tried to buy the Senators.
Nah, he's too big. He's too big of a star.
It's got Will Ferrell.
Yeah, well.
But he might be a little busy right now filming Deadpool 3 and with the stuff with Wrexham. So I don't know.
So I know the game is in Toronto. Do we know who's broadcasting it? Is it a Turner game or is it an ABC game? Is it an ESPN? Because that's going to tell you who's also going to be the celebrity coaches.
What I'm seeing, I think, is saying it's ESPN. No, February 3rd. Watch it unfold live on ABC and ESPN Plus.
It's on ESPN. So Disney, you're looking at Disney people at that point. Okay. I don't know many Canadian Disney people.
No, but I think you're looking a little.
It could be one of the guys from Letterkenny or Shoresy, because that's a Hulu property and they own Hulu.
Yeah, but I don't think that has to be one of their properties to get them to do it.
I know, but it's definitely, you know, it helps.
Hmm.
But I'm thinking maybe the guy who plays Shoresy, Jared Kesso, I think that's his name. I think you could see him. You could potentially see wrestlers like Chris Jericho and Adam Copeland. Adam Copeland is a Toronto Maple Leafs guy. He works for AEW, so he's a part of the Turner group now. And his wrestling gear for his last match in WWE was Toronto Maple Leafs themed. So maybe we could see Adam Copeland as a coach. Maybe Chris Jericho, because he's a Winnipeg Jets guy. Yeah, I think those are my choices. Anyway, so it could be fun bringing in some of the celebrities. You know, I always like to see avid hockey fans, also celebrities. So could be anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that could it'll be interesting to see who they kind of are able to bring in. And finally, let's wrap it up with some World Juniors tournament news, as that is fast approaching. The exhibition game schedule has been announced by the IIHF. Now, some of those highlights are a rematch of the bronze medal game from last year between the U.S. and Sweden on December 21st, as well as the 2023's gold and bronze winners, Canada and the U.S., going head-to-head on December 23rd. That's the news for the past 3 weeks in the NHL. And
all right, Coach Dan, is that the show? Are we all finished with this episode of What the Puck?
I think that's it, buddy.
All right, everybody. Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. Just go over to X, and you can follow me on X at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people follow you at?
You can follow me on Twitter, WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of capitals. For some reason, I wanted to hit each one of those as an exclamation point. I don't know why. Anyways, find me on there talking Caps hockey, talking about Arsenal Football Club and how we are top of the table, as well as some other sports, talking the Bills and how they should have beaten the Eagles if Gabe Davis had run the right route. You know what? It's just a down season for them. They'll come back stronger next year, hopefully. On there, talking about the Commanders and how they'll definitely come back stronger next year because they can't be much worse. And, talking about other sports on the old, formerly known as Twitter. At WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and other things related to the National Hockey League. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, a moment ago, I was talking about all sorts of other sports and football teams that I follow. If someone happens to be a fan of a certain purple clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast they should check out?
That's right. You can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. You can listen to it wherever you listen to this show. The Ravens are entering a bye week, but me and my buddy Josh, we will still be putting out content for you to listen to all throughout this bye week. So definitely go check out The Call. Now, please help us out, grow What the Puck, help us reach a larger audience, write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on all of your favorite social media platforms. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. Unlike November, where there was one game or none games to talk about in between the shows, we have a slew of games coming up. Thankfully, our TVs will be filled with Washington Capitals hockey, as well as, you know, some of our favorite Christmas specials throughout the month. On Wednesday, November 29th, the Capitals are in L.A. up against the Los Angeles Kings. That game is at 10:30 here on the East Coast. You can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network or Monumental Sports Network 2. On Thursday, November 30th, the Capitals are up against Anaheim, up against the Ducks. That is a 10 o'clock start. You can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network. On Saturday, December 2nd, the Capitals travel to Vegas up against the Stanley Cup champion Golden Knights. That game is a 10 o'clock start. Monumental Sports Network is where you can view that one. And then on Monday, December 4th, the Capitals visit the Mullet Arena up against the Arizona Coyotes. That's a 9 o'clock start. You can watch that one on Monumental Sports Network. So, Coach Dan, we got a back-to-back Wednesday and Thursday, L.A., Anaheim. Which goaltender are you starting for which game?
That is a good question. I'm checking the standings right now to kind of see where everybody's at.
You know, I mean, what's really funny is last time we did this.
I don't think it matters.
Oh, the last time we did this, I thought it was hysterical. We were going, which one is it going to be? Is it going to be Darcy? Is it going to be Charlie? Is it going to be this or be that? And then they pull out a wild card and bring up Hunter Shepard. It wasn't even in the cards for us.
I point out, though, I was right.
You were.
Because I said Kemper would play in the one. I forget. It was like Kemper against New Jersey and then Lindgren against the other game. And thinking number one goes here, number two goes here. But then Kemper gets hurt, so Lindgren becomes number one, and he played in the game that I said, and then Shepard played in the other one. So yep. I was the Islanders? I was right. My guess is we see Kemper versus LA and Lindgren versus Anaheim.
Okay. Okay. I can see that.
We'll see if that happens.
All right. Well, that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.